It's on. Scary words. It's on. I'm just going to open up with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to Susan. But we both talked today about our weeks and wondered whether or not everyone else had had the same kind of weeks that we'd had, where it has been quite a battle. A lot of enemy activity, a lot of the Lord showing us things that were difficult to see. I got to do two things this week that were very difficult to do. Last week I turned 40. That wasn't so difficult, actually. No, it wasn't so bad, actually. The 40 part wasn't bad. What was hard was that I buried a very good friend of mine this last week. And my friend David, who was here last week leading us in worship, was with me. He and I go way back, and we were both there. And as we buried him, we also saw a lot of folks there that we hadn't seen in 20 years. And when we were in our early 20s, I was in seminary, he was in school, we were both doing our thing, being students and getting together and worshiping and enjoying God and enjoying each other and enjoying our friends. We looked back on that 20 years ago and realized that we were also, in a way, putting to rest our youth, you know, and that, I'm looking around, I know a lot of you folks, and I realize that a lot of folks have done that, but you do that, and you look, and you see it, and it's a very heavy thing, because, as I was saying to Susan today, you know, when you're 25, you can look at a five-year chunk, you know, you can look at a chunk of time, but you're still really kind of just moving through life, you know, you're going forward, you're not looking back too much, but I said, you know, now I can look back on a 20-year piece of time. From being 20, and I got saved at 19, so I look at it also from a spiritual perspective. I look at 20 years of serving the Lord and all the places I've been with Him in that. And I might share some more later about some of the things the Lord showed me in that, but it was a very difficult week, you know, a difficult time. A blessing too. But I found myself kind of sad and under it a little, you know, because the enemy is also in agreement with anything he can do to keep me down, right? So anything that he can agree with that along those lines that he can get on board with to keep me down, he'd like to do that. And the Lord's on board with me seeing all the things he's doing and the place I am today and all that he's brought me through to this place. See, that's the forward look. That's the here I am, Lord. And so Susan and I got on the phone this and both kind of felt under it a little bit, and we began to pray, and as we prayed, we felt a lifting up and a turning and a shifting, and so we just both decided that I needed to pray for this meeting before we really start with Susan's ministry, because I just feel like maybe a lot of us have been going through some stuff like that and need a lifting up and a turning, although I have to say there's a lot of that happened in the worship, which was such a blessing. What a wonderful, intimate time with the Lord. So let's pray, and then I'll turn it over to Susan, but I'm just going to let go, let rip, as they say. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence. Lord, I thank you that you said to me that you are shining down on us, that you are shining on us, and that we just need to open up our hearts and to receive what you're shining down on us, Lord. You're shining down on us your favor. You're shining down on us your pleasure. You're shining down on us a favorable and positive blessing to our lives. You have made a way for us to be here. You have opened the door for fellowship. You have laid your word on hearts tonight. You've provided worship and your presence in that. Lord, you gave Tim just a beautiful, sweet spirit of worship tonight, and we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the words that came forth and the encouragement that was with them. And Lord, you are bringing us into a new place. Lord, we're turning the corner. We're turning the corner from the old dark things in our lives to the things that you are doing. And you're retrieving us, and you are making all of the barren places fertile in our lives, Lord. That's what you're doing, Lord. You're taking the rocks out of our field, and you're bringing out the pearls and the treasure. And you're showing us the treasure in our field, Lord. And we thought there was just a bunch of rocks and sticks. We thought there was just a mess there, Lord. Barrenness and pain and sadness and hurt and wounds. And that's all we thought there was, Lord. Because the enemy was there to agree with us. And that's all we saw. But Lord, you are showing us that there is treasure in those fields. And you are removing all the junk out of the way. And you are bringing those treasure chests up to the surface. And you are opening up that treasure. And you are showing us that you have buried treasure within us, Lord. That we are your handiwork. That we were made for your pleasure. And that we give you great pleasure, Lord. And there are so many, Lord, in your body who don't believe that. Who don't believe that they give you any pleasure at all. And Lord, we know that's a lie from the enemy. That your word says that we are your pleasure. You love us. You made us to have fellowship with you. And you made each of us unique. And you gave us each gifts and talents and a mind and a heart that's unique to each of us. And you filled us full of good things. And Lord, we're about retrieving those good things. We agree with you, Lord, that that's what you're up to these days. That that's what you're doing in our lives. That you are retrieving and renewing, and you are sowing seed on ground that's going to bear fruit, that's going to be so amazing and wonderful in our lives. It's going to feed the body. It's going to be a joy to you. And we are going to take joy in your handiwork, Lord. And we receive that, Lord. We receive your blessings tonight. We receive the promises that you have spoken over our lives. We receive the vision of good things that you have placed in front of us, Lord. We receive the vision of holiness and godliness that you are conforming us into. And not through the laws of men, but through the work of your Spirit. Lord, not that we would boast in it, but we would glory in what you have done in us, Lord. And so we receive it, Lord. We lift up our hands and we hold our hearts out to you, Lord. And we say, come, Lord. Fill us. Fill us and mold us and use us and bless us and be in us in all of your glory. That we would be light set upon a hill, Lord. That those who are lost, Lord, those who are hurting and wounded would see the light and they would be drawn to your holy hill. To the place where your presence abides, Lord. And that we would get another step closer to your presence today, Lord. And we would recognize and be aware that right now you are with us. God with us. Emmanuel, Lord. God with us. And that you are standing next to us, are sitting next to us, that you are holding us, that you are loving us. And that you are healing us. And you are bringing us forward into all of the majesty and the joy and the beauty that you have prepared for us, Lord. And that we don't have to wait, but you're doing it now in us. Work your work. Bring us out of our caves. Bring us out of hiding. And bring us into the open, Lord, where people can see what you have done in us. Where we can see what you have done in us. And what you are doing. We pray that in Jesus' name. Now release Susan. Release the anointing upon her. And let her word go out sharply to go in and divide between bone and marrow and soul and spirit. To pierce, Lord, through all the lies and all of the old tapes and all the stuff that just is trying to keep your word out of people's hearts. Let it pierce and let it bring forth fruit in every heart. We pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm prayed up.
Well, the first thing I want to say, because I don't want to forget it, is that this is the last time we're going to meet on Sunday night. We are, you know, the church is going to start meeting on Sunday night here before long. So we're going to start meeting on Saturday evening. And we will start on the 18th. And then we will meet every other week. So it'll be the 18th, July 2nd, July 16th, July 30th, and August 13th. And then we're going to regroup and see where we're at and what comes next. So we'll try to keep, you know, letting you know that. And, we just changed the night. Okay. 6:30, Saturday starting the 18th. So, and then every other week. All right. Well, we've been talking about... 6:30, yeah. We've been talking about the things that get in our way and that we are all in process of overcoming to come into the fullness that Mike is praying about. We all experience those in a variety of ways, and we're looking at how they are presented to us in Scripture, because that's the clearest hope we have, isn't it? You know, is the way the Lord presents to us the path before us. So we've been looking at Genesis 3, and I want to return to that tonight and talk about. We're kind of going through the progression here of them shifting the kind of knowing that they ended up in, and that is their own faculties and mostly sight. And part of the definition is chiefly in the mind. And then the element of ending up listening more to each other than to God. And we've been talking about how that's something we're all infected with the same thing, you know, in terms of the elements of the fall here. Tonight we're looking at the next progression. And it happens in verse 8. It says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. So, this is more losing ground, isn't it? Now they go into hiding, and they're hiding among in the creation that God made for them. Now they're hiding from Him in His creation. If we think about that, are there a lot of ways to hide in His creation? See, we have refined that beyond description in our day. You know, I mean. We have added to the creation all kinds of ways to hide if we choose to. You know, just we can be gathered up and busy and literally swallowed up in the things that He has created and we have created. What would you say motivates them to hide here? They hear the Lord. They hear the voice, the sound of the Lord, and they hide.
Shame.
Shame.
Fear.
Fear. Okay. Fear of?
Being found out.
He's going to know, isn't he? He's going to realize what happened. And is there any reluctance to talk to him about it? Perhaps, huh? They might not want to discuss it with him. I'm out of here. Well, when he speaks to them, when he says, "Where are you?" Is that what they say? I'm too ashamed, I'm too afraid, I'm to talk to you, Lord, and so I'm hiding. Is that what they say? Is that what they say? In the verse 10 it says, the Lord calls to Adam in his hiding. Aren't we glad that he does? Yeah. That he calls to us in it. And he says, where are you? Now, you know, it's interesting because that sounds like a question we ought to be able to answer. But honestly, can we answer that question accurately?
Not unless we have God's perspective.
Yeah. We would do better to be asking him, where am I?
Yeah.
You know, that'd be much more productive to say, you know, many times in my journal in the morning, I say, where are we, Lord? You know, I know we're on this journey. I know I'm in it with you. But I have no idea where we are in it because I don't even really know what the destination is. You know, I mean, but he says, where are you? And it says, so he said, Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now, naked is not fun, if you know it, and they do now. Although, look up at verse 25 in chapter 2, it says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So things have changed rather dramatically here. But the only thing that Adam identifies as the reason for hiding is being naked. Now, would you say that that's almost the least of his problems? Really? I mean, is that his most serious problem? Not hardly. He's lost the farm, you know. It's just, and he's about to lose the rest of it, you know. But that's what he presents. And the Lord says, "Who told you that? Have you eaten from the tree that I told you not to eat from?" Well, I'm not going to go into his response to that because that's the next meeting. The whole who's responsible for what. You know, we're not going to do that one tonight. We're doing hiding tonight. And the reality of that persists to our day. You know, They're hiding physically, but if we were going to look at the motivation for hiding, we named some of it. Guilt. They have actually betrayed the Lord, haven't they? You know, there's a disobedience issue. They are disconnected now, and that is, at some level, that's difficult for us. There's loss involved. They have put each other or the serpent before the Lord. They've been listening to someone other than him. And they're hiding from him instead of seeking his aid. Do you think they're aware of that? Are they in touch with those implications, those ramifications of what's going on? It doesn't really seem like it, does it? It's all there, and it is stirring them around, and they are acting on it, but I don't know how acutely aware they are of it. You know? And that's one of the things with hiding. It obscures a lot of things for us. I can relate very, very well from a ministry point of view to this kind of hiding and the fact that Adam only describes a small portion of why he's hiding. You know, most of the time when I start ministering to someone, when we begin to talk about what's going on and what brings them to seek some kind of healing or counsel, they indicate a little bit of what's going on. Like, you know, all of a sudden I'm exploding in anger and I don't understand why. So I need some tools to stop doing that. Well, we could provide tools, but are they going to last? You know, see, normally speaking, the things that the anger is about are in hiding, and the person's not fully aware of it. You know, So if they're, see, if they're going to be restored here, they're going to have to come out of hiding. And that's, they don't do that at this point, do they? Are we still working on it? In any sense? See, there's a lot of stuff that we don't necessarily acknowledge to ourselves or to anyone else or to God. He has some ways of pinning us down, and he will be faithful to do that. But we don't come up with it ourselves sometimes, you know? I'm going to share some of that that happened to me this week. You know, it's dangerous to teach on issues like this because I have been nailed on this all week long. And it's a good thing, but it was not altogether fun. This whole issue of hiding is a very pivotal thing. If I had to choose one of the areas in here, these elements of the fall that we're looking at, this one is key to all the others. And we talked about it a little bit the first night, you know, the scriptures about how important the condition of our heart is and getting all of it to the Lord and reconciling all of us to him and the business of pouring out our heart or asking him to search us so that he does uncover the things that we have almost automatically hidden away. You know, I think this kind of hiding is actually kind of automatic to us. I don't want to get in too much trouble, you know. I don't want to cause too many waves. If there's a way around it, that would be a good thing. Pain is not so good. Try to avoid that, you know. Maybe he won't notice. Maybe they won't notice, you know. Maybe we don't have to discuss it. You know what I'm saying? You know, those are just kind of normal things for us. You know, we operate in that. So this whole hiding thing is very pivotal. If we don't come to terms with it and learn to kind of regularly come out of hiding with the Lord, we will probably stay in the captivity and prisons that he was describing in Isaiah 61 that we looked at a few weeks ago. You know, those beliefs and situations that we're in that just kind of hold us captive. This knits together pretty well with some of the other elements we're looking at, knowing by sight, listening to each other. You know, that's information and ways in which we can stay in a comfortable place, you know. But what they are in touch with is being naked. And that is actually where the Lord starts. See, he doesn't say, that's a very minimal thing and we're going to get to the heart of this. He starts there. That's what they can bring. That's where he starts. Is that grace or what? You know? Verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them or covered them. Now this is like a type and a shadow of the covering, the huge covering that he has in mind, isn't it? You know, he begins to impart it to them. There's going to be a lot to his covering, huh? He's going to cover all of our sin and take it on himself, be our covering, be our righteousness, be our redemption. But here's the thing. He starts with... It's a very extensive work, but he starts with what we can be aware of. He both starts there and he acts to extend that, you know. And I see this in ministry all the time. You know, people believe that they're going to have to do something that is overwhelming to them in order to get well or be okay with the Lord or whatever. They think he requires this humongous thing, you know. But the fact is, he starts where we are. You know, he invites us to come and start wherever we are, which we can do. See, that is actually possible. We can do that. We can start with where we are. And people are very surprised sometimes to be met there, and for that to be okay, you know, that they don't have to do more than they can start with. We looked at last week. We were talking about one of the scriptures we looked at was I have the Lord saying, I have many more things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. It's another statement of that, isn't it? He will start where we are, and move us along from there. It's automatic for us, I think, to try to avoid things. It's not automatic for us to face, get a hold of, want to get to the bottom of it. I insist on getting this to you, Lord. You know, we can learn that, I think, but that's not the automatic thing. We're talking about learning it, I think, and getting to that point. There's a statement that is made in three of the Gospels. Let's look at the one where it's in Mark 4. Just to try to get a handle on the Lord's perspective on hiding. This is Mark 4. Let's read 21 through 23. Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. He intends for things to come out of hiding. So it isn't a matter of whether that is going to happen. It's just a matter of when. It is going to happen. And we will not ultimately get to choose that. See, ultimately, it's going to happen. So we're more comfortable at times, kind of staying somewhat hidden. If people don't know, they can't hurt us. If God doesn't know, maybe we won't get into much trouble. You know, it doesn't make any sense, but you know, we function that way. We're more comfortable hiding. He seems to like things unconcealed. Now, those are almost opposites. So who's right? And because he's right, that makes it easy to come out of hiding, right? I'm telling you, I think this is the hardest thing for us. It is absolutely the hardest thing for us. To risk, to be vulnerable, to share, to be visible. You know, is that hard for us? You know? Yeah, we have guards. And we maintain them. We know how to do that. You know? We hide pain or deal with it minimally. I think we should hide it, I think. Sorrow, weariness, shame, guilt, lots of struggles that we have internally, we tend to hide. Then when we start having symptoms from managing all that energy, all that material that we're carrying around with us, we start having symptoms. People say to me, "I don't understand it. I don't understand how all of a sudden I'm a nervous wreck. Why all of a sudden I feel so heavy and discouraged? Why all of a sudden I'm so anxious? I can hardly focus. I don't, you know, it doesn't make any sense." Well, if you look at the things going on around right now, they probably don't warrant that. But if you were looking at what is hidden away, they would match. And I think those are times when the Lord wants to work with the things that we have hidden away to free us, to restore us, to liberate us from those things, to fill all of that space with His Spirit and His gifting and His empowering and release us in the things of God. We will not be able to do both. We will not be able to hang on to the stuff we have stored away and be free. Do those go together? Let me look at another statement he says here. This is in Romans 2 of this intent. Romans 2 and verse 16 is the one that we're looking at. Says that, talks about in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. In the day. That's kind of at the coming of the Lord, isn't it? Secrets is the New Testament word for hiding. And the word is kryptos. It's the root word for our English word crypt. What is a crypt? Place where we bury things, huh? And in the crypt you bury things dead. You know, you don't bury anybody alive in a crypt. You know, they're dead. But the things that we bury in our heart, are they dead? No, they're alive. I mean, yeah, we'd like them to be, that's right. And maybe even believe that, you know, that's the way that they become without energy is not burying them. It's bringing them to the Lord and reconciling them and letting Him heal and clear and free us from them. Yeah. And so we have to get good at that. You know, I wish there was some other way, and I've certainly given it my best effort to find another way, and people ask me all the time, isn't there some way you can just do, you know, just handle it? Well, yes, there is, but we don't like the way he does it, you know. We don't like the process. So, you know, he wants us to come out of the way we hide, which is hiding from. The whole thing here is hiding from, putting things away and trying to hide from. But people say, but we need to hide. Yes, we do. See, that's actually true. There are times when we definitely need to hide. There's a scripture. Let's see if I have it. I'm not sure whether I have it. Yeah, it's Psalm 31 and verse 20. The Lord doesn't actually charges and counsels and encourages us to hide, but not from. What He says is hide in me. And there are a lot of ways in which He says that. Psalm 31 is one of them. It says, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the pride of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Are those two things hard for us? The pride of man and the strife of tongues? If we had to identify a couple of reasons why we hide, those would be pretty good. And we want to get it, we want to get away from that, you know. But He says, hide in my presence, hide in me. And there's a number of ways in which He says that. Colossians 3:3 says, your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm going to read you several here. You can write them down or whatever if you want, but phrases from several scriptures. Psalm 17:8, hide me under the shadow of your wings. That's a cozy place. Sometimes we just need to tuck in. Deliver me, O Lord, is Psalm 143, verse 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Psalm 27:5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Psalm 32, 7 is the song, "You Are My Hiding Place." You know? So the Lord, it's not as though the Lord is going to take hiding away from us, but it's a very different kind of hiding, huh? We run to Him. We hide in Him. I think that this is both an ongoing process and... let me read you 2 Corinthians 3:18, describing the fact that it's going to continue on and on while we are here in the midst and in this life. It says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." He's going to keep doing that, isn't he? Keep drawing us out. Keep bringing us before Him. Keep transforming us according to His image. Keep reconciling us to Him. There's glory in that. That's the only thing that makes it worthwhile, you know. Otherwise, we'd kind of stay in fear. Bob Adotto teaches at the home group that I am at, and... several weeks ago now, he was talking about fear. We were going through Acts, and I don't remember the focus there, but he was talking about fear and the impact that it has on us. And you know, I was reflecting on that after that evening, and I would say that when you get right down to it, most of the ways in which we are limited in our life in God have fear as a root. We're afraid to go into certain areas. We're afraid to believe God. We're afraid to let Him, you know, radically change our life. We're afraid to take up things. We're afraid of what people will say or do or whatever. You recognize any of those? You know, see, fear is a huge one for us. In the prophecy about John the Baptist, Zacharias, talking about that, says, well, let's look at it. It's in Luke 1, I know. When we get there, I'll find the verse. Yeah, chapter 1, verse 74. One of the things he says is, "To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear." Now that's a huge one, isn't it? To free us from all the fears we have of proceeding with God. And this is going to come to a place of completion. This, you know, he says in 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 5, chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels or motives of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." See, that's the benefit of letting him do this work. But see, I don't think they realized that they had as much material as they had in hiding in the garden. I don't think they realized that, and I don't think we do either. You know, when I you know, pray with people and minister to them, and we start asking the Lord, okay, what is going on here? You know, what's happening? It's usually very surprising to discover what is causing some of the things that are troubling them. It's usually quite surprising. Because when we put things away, we kind of forget them. You know, they're put away and we forget them. And it's very surprising to find that they still have any effect. You know, they still have any influence on us. But they do. Well, I want to apply this hiding issue, which, like I said, I think is a very pivotal thing in our relationship with God. I want to apply it personally, in terms of the way I was getting pinned down on it this week. And I think it relates to One Accord, what we're doing here, as well as what our pastor regularly preaches, having to do with passion, passion for God. You know, I took a few days to go on retreat, which sounds like a good idea, and what I thought it was about, the last 6 or 8 months for me have been very intense. Lot going on. I mean, there's usually a fair amount going on in my life, but there's been a illness in my family and a lot of time and energy surrounding recovery things and all. So it's been a fairly intense time, and I a lot has also gone on, but I felt a need for a break. So I took last weekend, Friday through Monday, and just went away for a few days. So I thought I'd settle down, be refreshed, not do anything. That's what I thought the Lord was doing. Well, he took the opportunity to have a word with me about a number of things. Some of them had to do with confirming a lot of the things that we are talking about here, and the fact that these are universal conditions, and we need to get out of them. That's what I feel called to. I feel called to getting our hearts united with the Lord and getting past the stuff that is in the way, because I don't think we're going to see the kingdom until that occurs. It's the way it is. I wish it was different, but I think that's the way it is. If that weren't the way it was, we would have long since. See, we'd be living in Acts. We'd be living in all the things that go on there. So there was a lot of confirmation of that, and but then the implication of that began to hit. If that is true, and that is the reality, and that's what I've laid on your heart and shown you over and over again, then where's the rest of your passion in pursuing it? And Ted is exhorting us to be passionate for the Lord, right? And I think we agree with him. But is our passion completely released and freed and out there? Probably not. Okay, then where is it?
Hiding.
And so something has to happen there. Huh? So I started trying to respond to the Lord. Honestly, it annoyed me first. It really annoyed me. And I began to complain. This is supposed to be a refreshing time. Now you're going to press me on a very difficult issue. that's really where we started. That lasted about a day and a half. And sometimes it does, and then I have to settle down and say, okay, Lord, obviously I'm not going to win, and I don't like the distance. So let's talk about this seriously. And I said, I have some. I'm doing certain things. I'm out there. Yes. but it's like, where's the rest? Where's the real release? Where's the going for it? And I had to say, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. Where is it? And when this whole sense of it being in hiding, began to hit, I just laughed because I'm preparing for this teaching. I said, "You do this to me all the time. I'm going to teach on something, and you're having to live it." So I started letting him show me about it, and was reflecting on a number of things. You know, when I accepted the Lord, the people around me, my family and my friends, were very upset. To put it mildly, they were very upset. And some of the accusations were abandoning them, losing my mind. Being ridiculous, and you know, I mean, just very, very, very upset. So it was not actually a great place for my passion. wasn't a real friendly environment for my passion. And I think I shared the last time we met that I had spent some time just in the Word, got saved, kind of reading the Word. There was a witness of a friend of mine. And then I spent several weeks in the Word and got so convicted that I gave up. You know, I mean, I literally gave up and said, okay, Lord, I get it. and I continued to do that. I continued to read through the New Testament just I was praying and doing the things that it said there. And then I got into the church, and I found out that there was a lot of controversy there about my experience of God, that it wasn't even valid. You know, God doesn't talk to people. I was sitting in my living room one day, and I was reading through Luke at that point. And the scripture in there that says, you know, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask Him? Well, everybody around me is beating my brains out. I said, man, that's what I need, Lord. You know, I need your Spirit. So I prayed. You know, I went back in my room. I sat down. I said, that's what I need. I need your Holy Spirit. And man, I felt the presence of the Lord incredibly. And there were gifts and things that started to flow following that, you know. Then I get in the church, and they tell me that those things don't even happen anymore. And if you think they do, you are woohoo. So, of course, I'm no authority, you know. I don't have any background. And I thought, maybe they're right, you know. Maybe I'm losing it, but that can't be, because that, yeah, man, it's something, you know. So that whole process and that, you know, there was a hindering, you know, there was a hindering in that, a confusion in that. Then I begin to clarify a sense of calling, and it has to do with our hearts and healing and restoring us you know, the whole thing of circumcising our heart and stuff. As I read through Scripture and was ministering to people, I could see how true it was, you know. I could see how true it was for me. That's exactly what the Lord was doing in me most of the time. That whether there were objections or not, He went ahead and did it. What do you think of that? He just proceeded like everybody wasn't in uproar. And that was, you know, that was over 20 years ago, 25 years ago probably now. You know, the church wasn't as open to healing 25 years ago as it is now. So, again, it wasn't a great environment for my passion. And, you know, I said to the Lord, well, man, I'm working on it. But see, He doesn't... I think He works with us. I think He keeps, you know, freeing us and all. But He doesn't go for any reasons the short of what He intends to produce in us. You know, so that's where we got to last week. And so I ended up spending some time and really saying, "All right, Lord, let's do the restoring here." You know, and you know, many times when the Lord is kind of coming to get us someplace, it's people have a lot of visions or pictures of like caves, you know, that we're in a cave or we're kind of hidden away someplace. That's kind of where my passion was, you know, this part of it anyway. Hanging out there saying, it's too hard out there for me, you know. But it was a neat time. It turned out to be a really neat time because there was a gathering and retrieving, a very important part of me. You know, the more important things are to us, the harder they are to pour out. You notice that? Things that we feel really strongly about, that are very dear to our hearts, it's a little harder to risk them. But if we don't, we're losing. You know, we're losing that part of us. So, since I have had to look at that issue, and we're hearing about it all the time, do you think maybe we ought to check in and see where ours is? this class, as it used to exist, and it's, I don't know, it's in some kind of transition right now. We used to do exercises, you know, where we just take some time with the Lord based on the teaching. And you guys will be sorry I did any retrieving of my passion, because the Lord told me to have courage and pin you down for one of these exercises. Actually, I have two of them. You get a choice. One we're going to do here, and one I'd like you to take home with you. One of them is on the kind of the general thing of hiding and coming out, and the other is on retrieving my passion. So could we take just about, you know, maybe 15 minutes? I'll hand them out. We take about 15 minutes. Just be quiet with the Lord for a while. And then we'll move into the prayer time that we usually move into, but maybe it could be about whatever he says. Yeah? I even brought some pencils and pens in case you don't have them. Okay, I'm going to start this first one around, which is the general one. Well, you can choose. You can choose.
Oh.
The second one is on has to do with retrieving my passion. And you can do either one now, okay? But then you agree to take the other one home and do it at home, right? Okay. Well, did you get one of these?
There's some.
Okay, there's that one. Where's the other one? Yeah, you gotta have your glasses. Oh, I need one of each. I'm not gonna do retrieving my passion, though. Okay.